Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome into the Scotty Johnny podcast. Welcoming you back in with us again. I am your not so humble host, Jonathan Barnett, Scotty Johnny himself, and with me again, Aaron Flottam. How are we this week, Aaron?
Jonathan, I am doing swell as of right now, but as we go through this podcast, I'm sure my mood will diminish.
Great. Well, you're starting off in a 1950s sitcom, so we're doing all right.
Right on.
If you're looking to find us and all the genius wisdom we're spreading out there into Twitterverse, you can find our show, of course, at ScottyJohnny1. You can find me at JBarn, J-B-A-R-N 5-4. And Aaron, where do they find you?
You can find me at Cheddar Talk, at Cheddar Talk.
Yes, perfect. So, of course, also, if you have anything you want to send into the show, ScottyJohnny@gmail.com. If you have any wonderful questions or anything you want us to talk about as we get going here, or, you know what, if you want to sponsor this podcast or try to put your name out there into the world of podcasting, let us know. Anyhow, though, we had plenty to talk about this week, Aaron. So many things to say. We're going to start with the Packers, just because that needs to get up and get out of the way.
Let's get that out of here, please.
I thought about kicking off first off, just a briefly touch on this.
If you're going to kick off anything to start, make sure you're not offsides like the first kickoff, like the Packers.
Okay. Or yeah, right, because Ron Zook is a genius.
Set the tone. Sorry, John. Continue.
Yeah, or we could be like the Nebraska Cornhuskers and just kind of slip and not kick the ball at all. Find that on YouTube. It's amazing. The trades. I thought about doing a short pop-up podcast, a John Solo podcast, as it were, for the trades. People were talking about Clinton Dix and whether or not this season now means that we're giving up on the season. It doesn't. It means we're holding.
No, not at all. He gave up on the team before the season started.
Yeah, he hasn't played a game of football, like a serious game of football, in 2.5 years, it seems. That man quit on this team. That man has refused to tackle. He has been a conscientious objector in terms of the game of football for the last 2 years now. And we got a fourth round pick for him, and that is brilliant.
Heller and John Arias were talking about that one too, and I think we might have alluded. No, because all these trades happened after last week's podcast. We talked about this on the side. I don't know how compensatory.
Good job.
Thank you. Nailed picks it. Work. Per se, I don't know the bylaws of the NFL down to rule 7G on page 98.
Yep.
I think they were mentioning that actually had they held on to him during this year, to which he said he doesn't expect to be a Packer next year,
right?
Earlier on this year. But they were discussing, and maybe John, you're a lawyer, maybe you know this, was that if they would have actually held on to him and tried to get a compensatory pick, if they were active in free agency and spent over a certain amount on free agents, they would not get that pick.
Yeah, that's right. It goes kind of, if you go out and get some people, it can hurt your picks. But the other thing is, the fourth round is the highest compensatory pick you can get. And it would have been a year later.
Right.
So they went out and got it now. They'll have it next year. And that's something there. And they were going to cut Montgomery, I think, anyhow. Getting a seventh round in, was it 2021? It was
2020. Not this next draft, but the next draft. So
there was some talk back and forth whether it was 2020 or 2021. Either way, it doesn't matter. I don't care. We weren't going to keep him.
Packers would have taken a 10th round draft pick in 2028. I mean, they got something.
Yeah,
so
they're going to
And the Vikings couldn't sign him. The Lions couldn't sign him. The Bears couldn't sign him. And the Patriots couldn't sign him.
Right, and he's going to hide out behind Alex Collins and Buck Allen, Javorius Allen, out there.
Actually, the team that he might have signed with would have probably been the Seattle Seahawks.
That'd been interesting because their running back field has been just sad, including their first round pick.
They need wide receivers too. But
yeah,
And John Snyder, that connection, and an offensive line. That team wasn't even brought up, and that was the first team I thought of.
Yeah, they also need an offensive line, but they're not going to do any of that. Anyhow, those trades were good for the Packers. And anybody who thinks it means that they're giving up their season, you're not playing it for the long haul. I mean, I'm a fan. I'm going to be here next year. I'm going to be here the year after that. I plan on living for a while and being a Packer fan that whole time. So I'm all right with him playing the long haul. Aaron Rodgers is going to be playing for a while yet. When you sacrifice the future to make sure you just have some talented guy who's going to leave you shortly in the short run, you're playing the short game. Play the long game. Play to win, in the next several years and for the long term.
And anybody who thinks that Aaron Rodgers' window is closing in the next 2 years, hey, look what's going on down in New Orleans or the team we just played.
Right. I was going to get into that because you and I disagree a little bit on Brady.
Yes, we do.
Not as greatly as you would try to make it out when we talk, though.
No, actually, we're not that far off. It's just that I'm a little bit more pro-Brady and pro-Patriots, and you don't like that. But
I don't like that. I think Tom Brady is a great quarterback. I don't think you can argue he isn't. He's great. He's phenomenal. I don't think he's the best of all time. Johnny Unitas is the greatest quarterback of all time. And if you don't believe me, go watch some football that happened before your lifetime.
Right.
It's ridiculous that ESPN has us believing the greatest quarterbacks I've ever played, they have all played in my 12-year-old son's lifetime. Every one of them.
Right. With an argument. Well, oh, yeah, I guess your son was still alive when Brett Favre was slinging the ball. So, yeah, I guess that one, too. And that's a total lie. If anyone thinks that Brett Favre is the best ever, Brett Favre was the most durable quarterback ever.
Yeah. No, he kept going. And here's the thing. It's this recency bias. There was, in the early 90s, I can't remember who did it, but there was a poll. And it said, first question was, who is the greatest American president ever? And the winner was Ronald Reagan. But they found that the results to that poll are very similar to a poll they did separately, which was, name a U.S. president.
People right, can't exactly. So, and, I mean, and yeah. if you want to start getting nitpicky about the greatest of all time, I mean, with baseball, and with whatever changes it has made, is basically kind of the same game it was 100 years ago. So everyone gets, and sort of with hockey too, a little bit, like the basic format of the game hasn't really changed. So the greatest of all times are still arguable, you know. Now, to say, I mean, but Babe Ruth, with the lifestyle he led and his frame and structure and the equipment he had, if you were to put him up today against Justin Verlander, no chance. But you can still kind of see how it is. The game of football today looks nothing like it did 20 years ago, and then the game 20 years ago looks nothing like it did 20 years before that. And that game has evolved so much from the inception of the NFL or even the inception of college football back in the late 1800s. I mean, back in the late 1800s, it was just glorified rugby. It was rugby that stopped and you lined up. That's all it was. So, I mean, you can't really compare them. But, I mean, as far as like just, you know, you're talking about Johnny Unitas. I bring up Sammy Ball. Sammy Ball was an unbelievable quarterback. Bart Starr, for what he was and what he had, and I argue this a lot of times too, is that Bart Starr is one of the greatest of all time. And maybe it's a Packer bias. It is. You want to talk about the greatest system quarterback of all time? Bart Starr was one of the best system quarterbacks of all time. He is right there with Tom Brady. He ran Vince Lombardi's offense. Yeah. Bart Starr was what, like a 12th round draft pick or something like that?
Something. I can't remember what he was. Out of Alabama, yeah.
Out of Alabama, Roll Tide. But he, I mean, without, you always talk about Tom Brady and Vince, or Tom Brady and Belichick, you know, tied at the hip. How about Bart Starr and Vince Lombardi?
Yeah, and they also, by the way, won 5 titles. So Brady didn't do it first. And they did actually point that out in the game. So good on them for actually
acknowledging. That's because Al Michaels is a Rhodes Scholar, and he's actually smart.
Well, everyone thinks the NFL started with the Super Bowls. But here's one thing I will say.
Miracles!
Right. I did a thing one time where it was like we extrapolated out the number of plays and touchdowns. If Johnny Unitas, by the way, had, instead of playing when he played, which, by the way, they didn't play 16 games a year. So all of those, like, greatest season ever, you're not doing it on a per-game basis. If you look at touchdown receptions per game, Don Hutson is number one all-time touchdowns per game. He's the only non-running back in the top 5. He's all of his numbers per-game basis are just slightly better than Jerry Rice's, and no one else touches the two of them.
Well, and to a lot of people's credits, that Don Hutson does get brought up a lot, like when they're doing the – he's usually the key – the number one go-to argument for, hey, we have to include the old-school players on this, because what Don Hutson did was unreal.
He had, like, 99 touchdowns when the next closest guy had a career best of, like, 24.
They were discussing best wide receivers of all time on Dan Patrick one morning. And
they're all guys we watched.
What's that?
And they're all guys we watched, and they mentioned
Steve
Largent.
Well, they were talking about that, but to Seton's credit, it was Seton or Pauly, one of the two front row guys, brought up, and they're like, why aren't we talking about Don Hutson? And then they like started rattling off his stats, and even Patrick was like, it's hard to compare, but he's like, that doesn't lie. That's ridiculous. And that's why they have a center named after him in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
He was an Olympic-class sprinter, too. You know. He was an Olympic-class sprinter at Alabama, too. Mm-hmm. The Alabama Antelope was the name. Here's what I did, though. I did it's obviously mathematical sorts of things, so it doesn't count as much. Imagine Johnny Unitas, instead of playing 12 and 14 games a year, played 16. Also imagine he threw as often as Tom Brady's averages, which I think is, where did I have it, like 35 passes a game.
Drew Brees' average.
Yeah, Johnny Unitas, if he'd have played 16 games his whole season, would have played another 46 games over his career. And so imagine also they did the number of attempts here. He would have, he would have had 69,323 yards, 499 touchdowns.
Yes.
You're like, what?
Right. I mean,
he's crazy. The guy's crazy.
That also goes back to the argument of who has the greatest single rushing season ever. Eric Dickerson, Barry Sanders, Adrian Peterson. No, not a chance. Not a chance in hell. It was O.J. Simpson because he did 2,000 yards in 14 games.
Yep. Yeah.
He lost out on two games. I mean, it's there's so many records that are just absolutely skewed because of when they went to 16 games. And now if the league ever goes to 18 games with two preseason games, throw stats out.
Yeah, that's why football stats just don't mean as much as they used to. The years change. The offenses are completely different. It's a completely different game than the way it was played 20 years ago.
It was a huge deal when Major League Baseball went from 154 to 162 because baseball has always been a stat nerd game.
Right.
And all the stat nerds lost their mind. They're like, well, there's no use in even keeping track of stats anymore because Maris hitting 61.
It had asterisks.
He lost out on seven games. He would have at least hit two more home runs at his clip.
Yeah.
In what was that, 1951?
53? 61, wasn't it? No, whatever it is.
Anyways.
Here was the point that I was trying to get to, though. We're talking about, like Brady's numbers, and you want to compare him to what Rodgers can still do over the next time. You look at the first 10 years Brady started, because he didn't start his rookie year in 2000. He only threw a couple passes. Yep. 2001 through 2010, he threw over 4,000 yards three times in 10 seasons. He threw 30 or more touchdown passes twice, including that 50 touchdown year, which, by the way, was his very first year of throwing more than 30 touchdowns. He had never crossed 30 until that point. He only averaged 250 yards a game three times in his first 10 years. And that was 2005. One of them was 256.9. Rodgers, in his first 10 seasons, which is through 2008 through last year, six 4,000 yard years. Six 30-plus touchdown years, and eight 250-yard-plus games. I mean, what Brady has done over his last 7 years, from 2011 through 2017, six 4,000-yard seasons, five 30-plus touchdowns, all 7 years over 250 yards. Rodgers can do all those things. They're all still ahead of him. He's killing Brady's first 10 years.
But John, at the same time, you got to remember Brady's first 10 years were, I just pulled up Breeze's lifetime stats, right? So, I mean, just it goes into the same argument that you were just saying about how things have changed over the time. Breeze and Brady and now Aaron Rodgers, who is 5 years younger than them.
We're talking about a difference of 7 years, not a generation. Rodgers started 7 years after Brady started.
Breeze didn't throw a 4,000 yard season in his first five seasons. When he was with the Chargers, he was 3,500 yards or less.
He's getting it to Tomlinson.
But once he got to New Orleans, so that's 2006, and Brady is the most prolific, like, yard getter, like,
yeah,
just volume quarterback of all time. I think that can be said about
him and Stafford.
Breeze is the most volume quarterback of all time. The dude gets a ton of yards every
year. And Stafford are the two guys, yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah, Stafford too. Yeah, Stafford. Stafford's going to be the all-time yards leader when he gets done. Just
never win a playoff game. Not once.
Anyway, so, I mean, Breeze, when he started his mad tear, was when he got to New Orleans, and he hit 4,000 yards every single season since he got to New Orleans. It's about the same time that Brady started throwing 4,000-yard seasons too, which is about the same time Aaron Rodgers started in the league. Rodgers started in 2008.
But Brady wasn't leading the league in anything until that 50-touchdown season. He didn't lead the league in passing yards or any of that stuff. They were a short pass team and a running team, and they played on defense. Here we go. Over this first 10 years, his defenses in scoring defense were number 6, then 17, first, 3rd, 17th, 2nd, 4th, 8th, 5th, 8th.
Hey, before we go any further, being the in-house Patriots apologist, can we just agree that Belichick is one of the best coaches of all time?
Oh, and absolutely.
Maybe I'll get off the Brady bandwagon.
He absolutely is. It's him, Halas, and Lombardi in my mind at this point. And maybe Shula. But Shula didn't
complete
as much.
Shula was a volume wins guy. Like, all he did was just get 10 wins a year for 40 years.
And an undefeated Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So he did have that.
Undefeated team, too.
And he won Super Bowls in two teams. He took the Colts to a Super Bowl, too.
Oh, that's right. He did, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
So he's in there. I mean, he's the winningest, but he was there forever. I would take Belichick over Shula. Lombardi didn't get the sort of run. Remember, by the time Lombardi never lived.
Died at 56.
Yeah, he never lived to be as old as Belichick is now. If he'd have continued to coach for a while, I mean, just and
he was
bringing up guys.
He was overhauling Washington when he got there, and
he only stepped down in Green Bay because of his health.
Right.
Imagine that. I mean, and Halas. Halas is one of those guys too. Just is there forever.
How about Chuck Knoll?
Yep. Yeah. No. He's in there too. I put him in that Shula category.
The Pittsburgh Steelers have only had 3 coaches ever. By the way.
Yeah. So yeah.
Wrap your brain around that.
And they've been around a long time.
3 coaches ever.
Yeah.
I mean, how many have had Tennessee, Cleveland, and Detroit had in the last decade?
Cleveland has an interim one now, and we'll have another one very soon. So,
anyhow, so back to the conversation about the quarterbacks. I'm just trying to say that. So your argument about Brady's first 10 years and Brees is 2 years behind him, and then Rodgers is 3 years behind. Rodgers 3 years behind Brees. They all seem to be taking off right around 2009. And that's about the same time a lot of the rules started changing about when, you know, receivers can't be touched after 5 yards. And now I don't think they can be touched at all. And then if they slap a defensive back and then the defensive back slaps them back, the defensive back gets ejected.
I think also the big thing that changed all of this too is that everybody wanted to be Peyton Manning because everybody watched him and he was the best. He was the best of this era. And everyone's like, we want an offense like that. We want to be able to do that because that is amazing. And I think teams just changed the way they played. They just threw a lot more. Even running backs now are smaller. Nobody carries a load like they did when Brady started. They started going away from that entirely, and the Patriots still stay away from that. They don't do a lot of running. They put a receiver in there yesterday, for crying out loud, because that's what they're primarily there to do is catch and get downfield. Just get some yards.
I mean, the Nigerian nightmare is not going to be featured. Jerome Bettis was the last. He was the last one.
Pretty much.
That's a complete lie. And actually, I'm going to call bogus on what you just said because the Patriots are running out LeGarrette Blount years ago.
Yeah, just for goal line stuff for the most part. He wasn't a main back.
He was a work of LeGarrette Blount's postseason numbers are insane.
Yeah, he was a matchup sort of guy. The Patriots are great at that. This is the thing that they do better than anybody is they don't have an offense. They have a will to win. They're going to do whatever you don't do or whatever you don't stop.
And the reason why his postseason numbers are so good is because, just like you said, they have a will to win. And when everybody else is beat down at the end of the season, they're just trying to make it through the playoffs, they roll out this 260-pound back who's got a head of iron and just let him pound your line. And you're right. His regular season numbers are garbage, but his postseason numbers are excellent.
And this gets into kind of what we're talking about for the game yesterday. The Patriots, what they did is they rode a running game. for at least three of their touchdowns were running touchdowns, even though they couldn't get the 1 yard at one time when they really needed 1 yard, and they even gave him a penalty to get another shot at that 1 yard.
I'm the so defense proud of held our up. Defense at that point. That's defense the first did time very I've been well. Goal line stand in a decade.
Patriots realized that with a young defense out there that was really giving them fits because they were having a hard time. Brady couldn't get the ball downfield. We really didn't get any pass rush on him, but that seemed to have been a game plan that they just know you can't blitz him because it's coming out so quickly. You're not going to get there in time, and it's just costing you a guy in coverage. So they just didn't blitz. And with that, though, they weren't moving the ball very well. They had one drive where they rode Patterson down the field, but then the Packers seemed to adjust to that very quickly, and he didn't really own any other drive after that. But they did enough there, and they ran a lot. They ran a couple big trick plays because they said, well, let's attack their discipline. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of young guys out there. Let's attack their discipline. And a couple of trick plays kind of made things move, and that really was the difference, that they were willing to do that and be inventive, and they have those plays ready. They didn't invent them at that moment. Those plays were all in their arsenal all year long, and they pulled all of them out this week.
Right, and it's just like you said, they attacked their discipline. Yeah, that's a – Brady, that was one of – up till the beginning of the fourth quarter, that was a – both quarterbacks looked very average last night, but I mean, credit to both defenses too on top of it. And you actually sent me a text in the middle of the game, and I was saying they're doing it with a bunch of nobodies, and you actually called me on that, because that's just what everyone always says, is that the Patriots are making it with a bunch of nobodies. And then you stop and you actually look at what they've done. They pull everybody's rejects in. Okay, everybody knows Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon's a superb talent. He wasn't a first-round pick, but that dude has he might be physically the best wide receiver in the league. Like, just like how we always talk about Giannis being the best physical player, like just a best physical specimen in the NBA. Gordon has got everything for it. He's just a complete head case. But then you mentioned it too, and then I thought about James White was a first round draft pick.
No, I think you were right. You said he's not. I was like, no, he isn't. But Phil Dorsett.
That's right. He was a second. Dorsett was a first round draft pick. Yes.
Yeah.
And then Cordell Patterson was a first-round draft pick. I didn't remember the Vikings took him at number 28. Something.
They drafted two first-round picks that year, and yeah, he was.
And they don't have any of them anymore. Anyways, that's for another day. Anyhow, you're right though. I mean, like they do pull off the scrap heap, but like,
the other thing about that team, there's
so much raw talent there alone, and somehow they can corral it.
The other thing is people always poo-poo the players on there. They're like, well, he's doing something with nothing. And you're like, how many times are you going to keep calling the guys who keep getting them the Super Bowls nothing?
Like Cordell Patterson is fast. There is no doubt about it. And that dude is an athlete. Yes.
And the Vikings were only just figuring out how to use him when they let him go. Because they did well, that year with Sam Bradford, they knew that like all you have to do is throw to him at the line of scrimmage or just quickly. Don't make him have to run routes or do stuff. Just get him the ball quickly and let him go. That was the only thing he was good at.
Just give him space. He's not a good football player. He's just a really good athlete.
Yeah.
You know?
and they had a very good plan for him, and they're very inventive and knew what to do with him. Yeah, it's the big, just crazy thing that because they have Tom Brady, they're like, well, Tom Brady does it with nobodies. And every year they tell you they're nobodies. But every year they bring these guys in, and every year they win. This is not a team of nobodies. You can name them. Like, we all know James White. Everybody knows James White, Josh Gordon, Julian Edelman. Everybody knows Hogan, for crying out loud, even though he's not that great. He's nice. He's not their top receiver. He's like their fourth receiver.
No, ask Holly, because that was like Holly's fourth round draft pick in the fantasy draft. Although she's doing fine in the fantasy. It's just, you just expect him to have a lot of yards.
And for our listeners, that's Aaron's wife.
Oh, sorry. Yes, that's my wife. My wife, Holly.
Right. But anyhow, there was that moment the Packers were driving down the field and they had the ball, was it the 20 on the yard line there? And they,
sure. It was inside the 30. I remember that.
The fumble by Aaron Jones. And I'm not going to blame him for that.
It was a hard one not to fumble. That ball was punched hard.
Yeah.
And it's the first time he's ever fumbled in the NFL.
He's got his hand out trying to brace himself a little bit. It just went wrong. I mean, that's what happened. But yeah, quick turnaround defense with a very young secondary. And that hurt, and that really changed the entire game at that point. Because I think Packers are going in to score at that point, and that would have really that really changed the game. Again, This is where it gets frustrating being a Packers fan, is listening to other Packers fans this morning or listening to everybody on national radio, because they all buy into this, just the narrative over what you actually saw with your own eyes. Like, the Packers played all right. That defense looked good, and it's getting better every week. They just played back-to-back road games against the two best teams in the NFL.
In the NFL, yes.
And they were toe-to-toe with them on two road games with a young secondary after trading away one of their safeties, after getting Jermaine Whitehead thrown out of the game on an absolutely bogus call. So,
as I alluded to earlier, you can get slapped, but don't slap back.
But it shouldn't have been thrown out of the game. It should have been a penalty. It just shouldn't have been thrown out of the game. But yeah, I mean, and they were toe-to-toe with them. They were just as good as that team. And if they got them at home, I think they could have, they might have had a chance to win that game too.
Either team at home. I mean,
yeah,
it's absolutely true. And last week's game came down to two plays. You can't make mistakes if you're trying to take down these teams with the team you have. The Packers are a decent team with some decent players. They don't have horses. They have one horse. And that horse's name is Aaron Rodgers.
I think the horses are in training.
The other horses are coming up. You know, MVS looks like he's going to be a really good receiver. Devontae Adams is kind of a horse. He's getting there. You know, like, he's just getting better with time. So what happened with Jermaine Whitehead was completely bogus, like I keep referring to. If you get slapped, you can't slap back, apparently. The penalty on Tanyan running into the punter.
Our boy Tanyan, we love him.
Everyone wants to blame Tanyan. How about this, Ron Zook? You just did a 3-and-out on the Patriots offense in Foxborough. How about we don't rush the punter and we just go for a punt safety? That was actually my initial thought. Like, why was he trying to block the punt?
And if you're doing it, why are you doing it with Tanyan?
Right.
He's not going to get there in time.
No, he's good. I love the guy.
We love him.
I'm cheering for him hard. But yeah, why isn't it a D-back or anybody else like that? Tanyan is supposed to be blocking on that. Like, now's when you're going to be tricky? No. Yeah. How about not now? Not when you're playing I hate playing conservative, but sometimes you got to be a little conservative on some of your aspects of the game. Like, I don't know, don't run it out on a kickoff at the end of the game when it's the best you can do. If you return it, is give them the ball back with $1.50, and then you get traded to the Ravens. You know, like, you can't do those kind of things. And like, rushing the punter in that point of the game when it's 17-17 and the game's online and you're going to get the ball at between the 25 and the 40, barring a really good punt.
Yeah, the good thing about that, though, is that all they did was go 3-and-out after that. So, I mean, it cost us yardage.
But they'd already gone 3-and-out.
And time. Yeah, it cost us yards and time.
And momentum and everything else. And it just adds to... Arias on the Heller show brought that up today, or maybe it was Mike that brought it up today. Like, the Packers are only the 11th most penalized team in the league. How many of those are just on the special teams alone?
Yeah, and how many of those are just such weird calls? Then they're always at the just crazy bad times.
Crazy bad penalties again. And if McCarthy gets fired at the end of the year, that's probably going to be the number one most cited thing, is the lack of discipline on the team, because there were some killer penalties. The Tanyan penalty, Whitehead getting kicked out, Bakhtiari getting called for holding on the first and goal at the 8-yard line. That's that's another reason why the Patriots kill everybody all the time.
They don't get penalties.
For like the 20th year in a row, they're the second least penalized team in the league. They don't shoot themselves in the foot.
Yeah, they know what they got to do to get those things done. So yeah. Okay, we want to move on from this, though. I think we've covered the big points that we wanted to get over on this, on the Packers.
I told you my mood would go downhill as we went.
We'll try to work you back up, though, Aaron.
About a team from Milwaukee at the end that I'm super excited about, not named the Brewers.
Yeah, still. We do want to say the Badgers had the opposite fortune of the Packers. It was a 31-17 game, but they won it. And yet, you don't necessarily feel the most comfortable about that, because it was Rutgers at Madison. I'll give them this. That safety who made his very first and very second interceptions of his career or the season or whatever it was, they had a good game plan. They came up hard. They hit. They had incredible timing on their plays because there were several times that Hornibrook is thrown to a guy who's open, and the ball and the D-back get there at the exact same time. I want to say that they were pass interferences, but most of them were not. Almost none of them were. Some of them should have probably been called, but they were so right there at that moment. They were ready to step up and hit those plays. I mean, Hornibrook was throwing the ball in the right spots. He was making his reads, I think, for the right, most part, to the right people. It just couldn't get those completed. It hit a lot of guys in the hands, and they did not hold on to the ball. And a lot of that was that their defense, their Rutgers defense, was good. That defense played very well. They were one of the top, apparently, pass defenses in the NCAA, or at least in the Big Ten, I'm sorry. And they looked good. They looked good that way. We should have been able to control that offense far better than we did. That guy, Sitkowski, true freshman, who was recruited by the Badgers, but we would not have started him, starting for the Scarlet Knights, and he, coming into the game, but I don't know if you saw this, Dad, I think you were a drill. He hit
I'm going to be kind of silent during the Badgers part here. I had a really long Saturday at drill this weekend.
So. He came into this game with 3 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. And it's
that's harsh. That's bad.
And while, you know, we had the Packers playing this last week, we had some injuries on the defensive side that really did hurt that team. The Badgers are playing without Sagapalu at the nose tackle. They were playing with, well, they finally got Dakota Dixon back.
That's good.
Yeah. And I went looking through this roster again. The Badgers don't have a single junior or senior cornerback on the roster. I mean, just think about that. Like, they just don't
have.
Well,
now you sound like P.J. Fleck.
No, I'm not crying because P.J. Fleck is crying right now because that guy.
All I've got is freshman. Terrible. Give me a couple of years.
Yeah, he's terrible. He's had 2 recruiting classes at this point, and sure, those are his kids. And they might be the second worst team in the Big Ten because
Rutgers.
Yeah, right above Rutgers because Minnesota looked terrible this week. Here's the thing: the Badgers.
Oh, did they lose again? No way.
Yeah, right. So here's the basic thoughts. The Badgers defense is not as advertised. We've been saying that for weeks now. They have not been able to get things done. They have been facing some injuries here and there that have hurt. Hard to get a lot of pass rush. We have graduated so many good edge rushers over the last several years. Dooley was very good, and of course, Watt and Beagle were great to have out there. And Van Ginkel's been good. He's been hurt a little bit, too. He's been good, but we don't have enough edge rushing out of our outside linebackers at this point. Have to build that back up. We've got some good blitzing out of our middle linebackers, who are both studs. Connolly and Edwards are both playing great. They've been playing very wonderful this year again, as always. But yeah, having the fact that we have been playing, at some points, 4 freshmen in the defensive backfield has definitely hurt this team.
And row the boat.
Yeah. There were so many great memes of fat people in sinking boats just trying to paddle.
Sorry, I can't let you go. You're just trying to stick up for the team by saying there's a lot of freshmen. I'll be done now.
It's the future. It looks pretty decent out there. We didn't get quite the jump up that we wanted from the sophomores in the receiving core. Mm-hmm. We were also counting on having Quintez Cephas this year, and that obviously can't happen. That's not a thing that should happen. I'm not advocating that he should be on the team right now. No. He's got to deal with that thing first, and then maybe never come back. Who knows?
Yeah. And Chris is in what year now?
I'm forgetting exactly what year he's in. He was the, what'd they say, he's the fourth guy to get to 40 wins within his first 50 games or something like that.
Yeah.
In the Big Ten history.
That's kind of the part of an overhaul, too. After you come in, you know, there were good players with the Badgers when he got here that weren't his kids, and so there's going to be a little dip. And so now we're kind of waiting on the younger generation that, recruiting class 3, 4, 5, year 3, 4, 5. So
he spent a lot of time having
to
rebuild this
happen,
team.
You know,
Gary Anderson, for what?
Oh,
whatever
God, I
he
forgot
did,
that he existed. I thought that he came in right after Bielema. That's right.
No,
never
no,
mind.
No. Gary Anderson was recruiting this team to be a very different team. And it really hurt, and he paid no attention to that offensive line. And it has been Chris rebuilding that line in the last, I think, 5 years now. And he's done it. This offensive line has not played like we wanted it to play, but they are still very good, and they are a solid offensive line. He's picked up one of the best running backs in the country, from somebody that nobody was really looking at as much as they should have.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a very good judge of talent. The other thing you should remember is that the very first year he came out, look at what Pitt did to Clemson. Because Clemson mm-hmm. looked unstoppable. Pitt was the only team to beat them. By the way, those are guys Chris recruited.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a very good recruiting class coming up. It looks really fun. It's going to be a great look coming ahead. Remember where we came from, that this is a team that has been building towards greatness and is not going to be doing it every single year. We have the unfortunate luck of having to watch a team that actually cares that you have an SAT score and that you can get into the school. Other schools, like when you remember the recruiting of Diamond Stone to the UW basketball team, one of the reasons he didn't get there, which was never, I guess, fully confirmed by him, but oddly he announced he was going to Maryland the day after the scores were announced for what was his retake on the SAT.
Yes.
We are fairly sure he did not do well enough to get into Wisconsin. Wisconsin actually requires that all athletes get into the school on the same standards as the student body in general.
Right.
They have to meet the same academic standards as anyone else who's not a student athlete.
Yes.
But Maryland does not do that. And a lot of schools don't do that. They said, well, the NCAA has their own standards for what the minimum is there, and we'll use the NCAA standards for our athletes. Wisconsin
doesn't do
that.
And then, of course, there's places like Miami that just didn't have standards at all for years.
And that's the thing, too, is that Gary Anderson notoriously was asking Wisconsin to drop their academic requirements for athletes, and they would not do it. And he said he couldn't recruit players unless he was able to get really dumb ones. And that's so untrue. It's just absolutely untrue, and it plays to the worst of what college football is, which is just a factory for bringing in people, not educating them, and then kicking them out into the world after you're done with them. UW requires that you at least had tried and gotten the sorts of grades and SAT or ACT scores that would have gotten you into college anyhow, and that pushes these athletes who want to play there to say, I have to get up if I want to get into Wisconsin, and it's a university first. It just is, and it should be. And I love that about this team and about this school, my school, by the way. And sometimes
I know you're really this is like an advertisement at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. The only other Wisconsin thing I do want to go into is Badger hockey. We talked about
before
it
you
last
get to
week.
That. I do have two thoughts before we go to hockey because I knew you were going to do that. I could read your segue. I was just looking for an opportunity to get in there. I'm still working with some people. I grew up in Turtle Lake, Wisconsin, which was in the same conference. It's the smallest division of all sports in Wisconsin, Division 6 at the time, which is now 7. We played in the Lakeland Conference against Flambeau, Wisconsin, where Jimmy Leonard is from. And I actually played against Jimmy Leonard and his older brother in high school football. And we won a state title, and Flambeau won a state title during the times we were in high school. During my sophomore year, we won, and during my senior year, Flambeau won. Jimmy's older brother was the same age as me. Jimmy Leonard was a sophomore, and we're still trying to get confirmation. I was talking to my parents and to some of my classmates. My junior year against Flambeau, I got loose for an 80-yard touchdown pass, and I burnt a Flambeau defensive back. And in those days, we played like 5-3 defenses with, this small town, so five linemen, three linebackers, three defensive backs. So you were one-on-one coming out of a short split in running offense. And I couldn't remember it. I think I might have burnt Jimmy Leonard for that 80-yard pass.
And that's probably why he had to walk on, is everyone saw that.
Because he got burnt by Aaron Flott of his sophomore year in high school. Yes.
Yeah, and that's great, because since then you've been on a pretty similar trajectory, the two of you.
Moving on to Badger hockey. Take it away.
Fair enough. All right. Yeah, Badger hockey, though, feeling very, very good heading into the weekend, but taking that team, the Badgers went out to North Dakota fighting the Fighting Hawks and ended
the
up
fighting telephone poles.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, the state tree. And they ended up getting swept in a 2-game series out there. Definitely not the sort of thing you looked up for. They got beat pretty badly on Friday night and had to come back. They had a decent, I think they lost 2-3. And they started off with a one-goal lead in that game. Got a power play early, got a one-goal lead, but then from there on out, 3-1. Ended up losing that one 2-3. It would have been nice to come out of there with a split, playing in North Dakota, but the Badger hockey getting themselves lost against an old WCHA foe this last week. But hopefully some better things coming up. They actually have a game coming up where they're going to play Notre Dame, fellow Big Ten Conference Notre Dame member. Big Ten member Notre Dame, pardon me, at the United Center where the Blackhawks and the Bulls play.
Oh,
so
wow.
That could be interesting.
Could be.
The little bit that we are going to touch on a different Milwaukee team, not the one you were alluding to, but the Brewers, the one thing I want to say is that Lorenzo Cain got absolutely snubbed. They even mentioned something in the announcement from MLB about whoever got it. They're like, oh, he finished second in outfield home runs taken away to Lorenzo Cain, who finished second in this award. You're like, how did he? You just mentioned that the guy you named is the second best at being a center fielder in this league, but he won.
Well, Brewers fans better just brace for it right now. The Brewers are going to get snubbed in all the postseason awards. It was obvious through the playoffs that Major League Baseball did not want the Brewers there.
Locane was the best center fielder.
They were ruining the game. Craig Counsell was doing these weird things, bringing out a pitcher for one batter and then, you know, bringing Woodard out after that. It's, they don't like the Brewers. They don't want the Brewers to succeed. They don't want to. Yelich is not going to win the MVP. Even though, I got to get off this page right now. When you're bringing up UW hockey, I went and looked and saw how the UW Superior hockey team was, 2002 national champion UW Superior hockey team.
You get one
and as usual, they are in the cellar of
the NCHA. They're the WIAC now, aren't they? They used to be the NCHA.
The Ma and Pa's pretty good hockey conference in Wisconsin. But I was telling you too, like I was on CBSSports.com and they're talking about the Baseball Writers Association of America voting coming up here for all the different things. And, you know, there's all these write-ups like for the AL Managers of the Year. Well, Kevin Cash from the Rays got pretty just panned and just like, well, he had a 90-win season, nice. And then a paragraph on Alex Cora, a paragraph on Bob Melvin, and then NL Manager of the Year, Bud Black, it's a paragraph. Craig Counsell got him to the NLCS. Brian Snitker, blah, 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 like three paragraphs long. He is the favorite. Rookie of the Year had nothing there. Rookie of the Year for NL, AL, Cy Young. We didn't have a Cy Young person. ML, AL MVP voting. Mookie Betts is going to win that. He was ridiculous. But NL MVP. So you look at all their stats. And so if you were to combine Nolan Arenado and Javi Baez and made their best stats one player, Christian Yelich still beats them on batting average and war. But they're basically just saying that Christian Yelich is like, he's a lock for it, but Arenado is
gonna
probably
get
the
it.
Best player in baseball. So there's still like a caveat at the end, like, yeah, Yelich should win it, but don't be surprised if it's not Arenado because he's obviously the best player in baseball. And it's like, no, like, what are you talking about? So
but he's a Cub.
I guess, you know, if Yelich doesn't get it on the 15th, then I'll start burning things down. So, right. The Major League Baseball doesn't like the Brewers. They didn't like the Royals a couple of years ago. They would prefer if all the teams in the middle of America just went away.
Except the Cubs.
They really do. Except for the Cubs. They don't even like the Red Sox. I mean, the fact that Brewers fans and Sox fans are galvanizing together is unbelievable because we used to hate Sox fans, but we're galvanizing over one thing. I mean, they don't even want the Cardinals to win anymore.
I don't know. Either way, yeah.
They don't. It's
I
not
hope
a
you're
big
not right.
Market. They want the New York teams, the Boston teams, San Francisco, and LA.
Yeah,
that's all they want.
That's true. And now, hopefully, we can do something about that and keep that.
I mean, Houston's the fourth largest market in America, and it pained them to have them be the World Series champions last year.
Yeah.
I remember reading a story about like
you're killing me.
The Astros in the World Series is horrible for ratings. And it's like, they're the fourth biggest market in America. Like if they can't make it, then
all right, let's get off of baseball. We're bringing you back down. I don't want to do that. Hey, you know what starts this week? In fact, tomorrow or today as you're listening to it, because we record on Monday night. But November 6th.
Can we talk about triple doubles? Are we going into triple doubles? Tell me we're going to start talking
very
about
close. We're going to start off with the fact that the Badgers are going to open up the men's NCAA tournament, or not tournament, just the NCAA season this week, starting November 6th. They will be playing Coppin State. Everyone knows, of course, Coppin is over by Delaware. The capital is Coppin City. It's my favorite state. Their state flower is the sunflower. None of that's true. It's in Baltimore, and they're gonna beat the pants off of Coppin State, who lost their last five games of last season. Bucks bringing back a bunch of people. They got Trice. They got Happ. Their backcourt missed a lot of games last year. They got Iverson. They got a bunch of guys. They have two like 7 foot tall centers. I think it's a freshman and a sophomore. Mm-hmm. So they got some size out there. They can play some football or play some basketball. They probably play football too. Probably play football too. Who knows? Yeah. They're going to be decent this year. A ton of injuries really derailed the season last year and broke their streak of NCAA tournament appearances. But Badger basketball is back. Everybody, get out there and watch those Badgers and cheer them on, and let's see how this goes. Of course, we'll have to see all the
other. It's a big argument up in Minnesota every year too. Is that whether or not Patino is going to leave the Gophers to go somewhere else, and they're like, well, he's going to go to like Alabama or something like that because Alabama's known for basketball. But it's like
they were last year.
The Big Ten, they almost lost Alabama with three players against the Gophers. Do you remember that one?
Yeah,
that almost happened. Anyways, site for anyone listening, the Gophers played a game last year against Alabama where after a big fight on the court, Alabama was down to three players and they still almost beat the Gophers. Anyways, but so it's everyone forgets that the Big Ten is now the power basketball conference.
ACC is still very good. It's those
ACC
two.
ACC is still very good. The Big East got destroyed.
Yeah.
That's gone.
Sad.
You know?
Sad to see.
So it's Big Ten is where it's at for basketball. So Wisconsin will be able to draw players. So continuing, John.
Yeah, so it looks like it'll be another nice year. They should get back on track this year, and it should be a good season to watch. So, and of course, there will be all the other schools around UWGB and Milwaukee, the University of Milwaukee, which used to be University of Wisconsin Milwaukee, is now just University of Milwaukee, I guess.
Traitors.
Yeah, they used to be. It had a great. They used to call them Dub Mill. That was so great, but now they can't now because there's no Dub.
Now they're just Mill.
They're just Mill, and they're over there in the Horizon Conference, and we'll see how they do this year. But yeah, should be another good NCAA season. We're looking forward to that.
I'll get back to you in March, just like right. I do every year. Sorry. I'm that college basketball fan. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and I'll start watching them. I prefer the NCAA to the NBA, but since we do have an NBA team in this state, an actual one at this point, an 8-1 NBA team. The team that, I mean, and they almost took out the Celtics, Aaron. Did you watch that game?
Yes, I did. I watched the third quarter on.
They were in there for that. They had a fight to the end, and
they did
almost. And then they went out and crushed the Kings.
I mean, it was, and the thing is with Boston too is it was not looking good at all. And then they somehow crawled back into it, which is the sign of a good team. It didn't look good. Like everything they were doing didn't look good. Yet somehow at the end they were still in it. That's a sign of a good team. When your team doesn't look good, but with 1 minute left, you're like, holy smokes, they might actually win this thing. What's going on here? Like they shouldn't be in this game. Like from the eye test, they should not be in this game. Yet at the end, even when they were down by two, like you're like, it's going to take a miracle. Like there's nothing going right here. And somehow they're still on Boston's heels in Boston. And that's when I got a big warm fuzzy inside with a loss. It's one of those feel good losses. It was like they didn't do anything right. And they still only lost by two and had a reasonable chance at winning it, and they still screwed it up at the end. And Middleton was not shooting well, and it wasn't good, yet they almost won it. Like, well, that's a good feeling to have. Back when the Packers were kicking butt, that's kind of how it was. Like, they, if they lost a game, it was like they lost by two, and that's because, you know, Rodgers threw two interceptions, there were three fumbles, and the special teams really messed up on like five plays, you know, but they still almost won it. You know, it was like, that was a good feeling. And then, yeah. And like you said, and then they went out to, I just had a story up about it too. It was Sacramento. USA Today.
Greatest thing I saw about the Sacramento game is somebody was talking about, they said, Giannis is out there slaying so many kings, you think he's in Game of Thrones. So good.
He's got dragons. He's got dragons. Watch out, everybody. Giannis has dragons. Yeah. He's taking them down the cadence left and right. But no, they were. I was on USA Today, and they said pleasant surprises of the NBA season, because everybody thought that, you know, with LeBron leaving to go to the West, which, how about that West right now? Hey, Golden State, you guys just keep scoring 90 points a quarter. This is fun to watch because you're just demoralizing all 20, these teams.
124.1 points per game. 121.9 for the Bucks.
The Bucks would be the best team in basketball if it wasn't for the Golden State Warriors right now.
They are second in points per game right now, yeah.
Second in points per game and second in defense per game, I think. What was it? Let me get this up here real quick.
No.
114 a game they were averaging after the Kings game. And
106.1.
Number two defense, 100.1 points per 100 possessions, which is pretty good. Okay. And number three offense scoring 114.7 per 100 possessions.
Oh, okay. I was looking at the points per game.
Right, well, and okay. that was the league's best plus for points, 14.6. So they have the best plus in the league. And so, and the crazy thing is, the next team about pleasant surprises right underneath the Bucks is the Sacramento Kings, who they just lit. Like, everyone was like, hey, the Kings, look at this team. Vlade Divac, cigarette-smoking Vlade Divac. He's got a team out there. They're going to be awesome. The Bucks just laid the wood to them.
Yeah, they're 6-4 now, the Sacramento Kings, and we're one of their four. Yeah. The thing that does make me sad here is, I mean, other than the Gophers, like, they're the only team that is the primary rival of any Wisconsin team, because the Vikings are not our primary rival. The Twins aren't really our rival. They're a different league.
They were until we went to the NL. So
yeah, but then, I think we hated the White Sox more than the Twins.
Right.
But, I mean, the Timberwolves play in a completely different league and always have at this point. So we've never had any issue with the Timberwolves. I'd like to see them win. I would like to see the Bucks play the Timberwolves in the final. That would be phenomenal. But yeah, the Timberwolves are just
right now.
Apart.
The NBA is trying to get your Twitter account shut down for even saying that.
I got the I-94 the championship series.
Oh my God! The NBA just wants the Knicks to be so good. I don't know why they haven't intervened yet. But anyhow, sorry.
Yeah.
Get going on.
The where are they? Oh, there they are. 3-8. The Knicks. They are better than the Wizards and the Cavs.
Mm-hmm. And the Orlando Magic. I can't even talk right now. The Oklahoma Thunder, that team.
That is just insane to watch that team be as bad as they are.
They used to have Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and the Beard on one team. And Iguodala.
Yeah.
If those four people were still on the same team, Golden State couldn't touch that. If Harden, Durant, Westbrook, and Iguodala were four of the starters, I don't even care who the fifth guy is. It could be a sack of apples. Of course, that's problematic because Durant is on the current Golden State Warriors roster. But, even if it was Durant for Durant, I don't think they could touch him.
Yeah.
That used to be Oklahoma City's team. And that's why I was such a huge fan of Oklahoma City. And now, Paul George is nice. Russell Westbrook is a beast. But, I mean, what's going on there?
Yeah, I was just not so great in that spot. But
what's crazy is the Bucks aren't even first in the East right now.
They're a half game back, but that's because they haven't played another game.
Right.
Toronto's 9-1 to our 8-1, but we beat Toronto. So
bring it back to what we were talking about. Everybody was like, what I brought up. Sorry, I'm dominating the conversation right now. Basketball. It's a sport I never played in high school. Wrestling, awesome. But anyhow, so when everybody said LeBron left and there's going to be this big vacuum in the East and the East is going to suck and the Celtics are just going to walk away with it, Kawhi Leonard's actually taken it to task up in Toronto.
Yeah.
He hasn't gotten Jimmy Butler on the bit. He's actually trying. Toronto's really good. The Bucks are really good, and they're beating Western opponents.
Yeah.
Now, it's only the first month, but this is shoring up very well for the East right now because the Celtics are a really good team. They are.
And they're in third right now.
They got their best player back from a horrific injury.
Yeah.
You know, well, Kyrie's their best player, but what's his name came back
from Hayward.
Hayward came back from that really bad ankle injury. So the Celtics are really good. But I mean, now that the Bucks and Toronto are really stepping up and looking good, this could turn the corner here real quick.
Yeah.
So and Coach Bud is the reason for the Bucks being this good. Let's not even lie to ourselves.
Right. And I'm feeling very excited about this. I don't follow the NBA much. I don't care for it because it is just set up to have certain teams win. And it is the single sport most easily influenced by a referee with an agenda, which does happen.
Which was proven.
Yeah. So it's tough,
the only league where it was actually proven.
But I will watch this team. I haven't really watched them a ton yet, but I'll sit down with my 12-year-old son and watch some of these games coming up here, I think. I mean, like I've said earlier, I will watch way more Badgers than I'm going to watch Bucks. That's just, that's what I enjoy more. But I'm going to watch the Bucks, especially so I can at least have an intelligent conversation with you when you're saying this. Right. So it isn't just me talking Badger football and hockey and you talking Bucks at the end of the day. So.
Well, and it's in the long run too, is that apparently the Bucks' new stadium, Fiserv Forum, is something to behold. I've heard it from not just Milwaukee people, but other sports places I listen to around the nation when I catch blurbs and whatnot, or when I'm listening to the national things. And there's some national guy who comes in there like, it's a really nice arena. The Bucks have a good team. They have a good coach. They have good infrastructure. They have a legit star in Giannis, who's very interesting, and people love him. That 60 Minutes bit last year that they did that interview with him made the nation fall in love with him. He's a nationally loved player just for his story alone. I've actually bought a couple tickets already to take the family over to see a couple games there. You're invited too, by the way, if you want to. Well, I'll share the dates with you after I'm done here. GovX, I got them. Cheap as a veteran. The Bucks do really good deals for veterans too, just kind of like the Brewers do. So there's enough veterans around town. It's not as good as the Brewers, but I mean, they're getting there. You know, smaller arena. You know,
they should, since the state paid for their arena.
What's that?
They should, since the state paid for their arena.
Right. I'm probably not going to make it up to the field house for any Badgers games. Well, I might.
They don't play at the field house anymore.
It's not my university though. Like it's the state's university. Bucky Badger is the icon of the state, but it's not my university. So it is what it is. So I'll probably be just the opposite of you. Like I'm going to get my family to a couple Bucks games, and I got family in Milwaukee too on top of it. So yeah.
Yeah, I'd go. It sounds interesting. I was at my cousin's wedding down in Milwaukee I'm forgetting the date on it. Was it August? Either way, I was down there for that, and we were staying at a hotel and walking around the area, and our hotel was just like, you could see them building the arena there. So it looked very interesting, but obviously they weren't even done with it. But it'd be cool to get in there and see what it looks like. I mean, I helped pay for it, so.
Well, they have a, what's the microbrewery in Milwaukee?
The one?
There's a couple of them.
Yes.
Well, it's not Duluth. Believe me, Duluth Superior, Wampsa snot out of anybody else in this state for how many microbreweries per square foot. You can't walk two steps in Duluth Superior without tripping over someone trying to give you an IPA that they just got from the nearest microbrewery.
Whatever.
So it's not Hinterland. Hinterland is, they're the ones they're that Green are in Bay. Bed with the Packers.
Yeah, they're up in Green Bay.
They're up in Green Bay, and it's not Lakeshore Brewery down there. It's one of the other.
Yeah, there's a ton of them down there.
Oh, God, it's like Lakeshore is the biggest one down in Milwaukee, and then there's the second biggest one down there. I'm still catching up on my microbreweries down south here. Either way, their microbrewery got relocated into the Pfizer Forum complex.
Okay.
So there's that, and I think Goolsby's has something to do with something in there too. Like it's something else, apparently. And I just love that they named it a forum.
Like, yeah. Sounds
such a good name for a basketball arena. It just, I mean, credit LA Lakers, you know, Showtime Lakers back in the 80s. But yeah, Forum, it's a good name.
Or the Romans.
We're gonna have Tigers. We're going to have Gladiators. It's going to be great.
All right. We do have to wrap this up, though, Aaron. We are over our time here. So we're going to get going on this, though. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Of course, remember, if you're listening to us on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating. If you're listening to us anywhere else, give us a rating there or 5 stars. Or go to iTunes, because you probably have an iTunes account. Go there and rate us 5 stars. Leave us a little review, too, and let us know how we're doing. Makes it easier for other people to find us. It makes us move up the list, so when people are looking for sports podcasts or Wisconsin sports podcasts, they can find us more easily. Also, again, you can follow us here at ScottyJohnny1, the number one, not the word. Also at JBarn54 and at Cheddar Talk for Aaron Flottam here. Remember, as we're letting you go again for another week, whether you're on the town or on the go, it's always on Wisconsin.
Heyo, Cheddar Talk.